I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, new rules for credit card companies kick in this week. What does that mean for consumers? Our money coach, Alvin Hall, will tell us in just a few minutes. But first, the Caribbean islands of Turks and Caicos are known for their breathtaking beaches and celebrity vacationers. But they are also making headlines of late for less attractive reasons. Domestic drama and allegations of corruption and administrative incompetence, all related to the rule of former Prime Minister Michael Misak, who resigned in March. Officials in the United Kingdom say that's what led to the suspension of self-rule on the islands as of Friday. Joining us to tell us more is Jacqueline Charles, who covers the English-speaking Caribbean for the Miami Herald, and she's actually a native of Turks and Caicos. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Now, of course, this whole allegation of corruption is a very broad charge. What specifically did the British point to as a reason for their actions?
Well, the British government began investigating the government of the Turks and Caicos last year, and earlier this year, over several weeks, held a commission of inquiry. And what they found was several allegations or a high probability of corruption in the areas of land deal, which in the Turks and Caicos is known as crown land, also government spending. During the commission of inquiry, there were a number of government ministers, including the premier, who were asked about credit card balances of $1 million, debts that totaled $22 million on the parts of some of the ministers. And so after looking at this and asking questions of several members of the island as well as in the government, they decided that there was a high probability of corruption, especially in the public sector, and that the Constitution needed to be suspended in order to resume the democratic process, in order to strengthen governance on the islands.
Were there any other alternatives? Because this seems a drastic step in this day and age. I mean, one sort of, or is it just because the size of the government is so small that it's believed that there is no other alternative?
Well, I think what many people forget, including us Turks Islanders, I am a native, as you mentioned, or as we called a belonger, is that we are a British dependent territory. These are very small islands, 30,000 maximum probably in terms of the population. And this is, I think, the second time in the last two decades that our constitution has been suspended by the British. I think what they struggled with, the British government, is trying to come up with some sort of alternative. But what you find in the Turks and Caicos is that it's very polarized in terms of politics. There are people who support the government and there are people who oppose the government. Now, with this current move, there is an advisory group of citizens who are going to be put in place who will be advising the governor. So it's not just Britain coming in and taking over with no input from the citizens. But what they wanted to do was to ensure that there was some oversight as we move forward.
There was also interpersonal drama. As I mentioned, the Prime Minister married, Michael Misak married the American actress Lisa Ray McCoy in a lavish ceremony. It was very heavily covered in the African-American press and some of the women's magazines. This sort of a lavish event. But then, of course, you know, the relationship went sour. There were allegations of domestic abuse and so forth. Did this interpersonal drama, particularly in such a small place, play any role in these allegations of corruption? Were they intertwined in any way?
Well, it's interesting. I was at the wedding. It was a very lavish and beautiful wedding. But I think it played a role only in the sense that she was among the individuals who was called before the Commission of Inquiry to give testimony in this case. But as far as their divorce proceedings, their personal life, that did not come up during the Commission of Inquiry. There were no questions asked about it. What she was specifically asked about was his spending. She was asked about several private plane trips that he had arranged for her, and with the goal there was trying to find out whether or not public funds were used to fund these very private trips, including vacations, including their honeymoon. But as far as the particular drama that overshadowed their relationship, that did not come up, and I do not know, you know, whether that played. I mean, from the Commission of Inquiry standpoint, it was, we are here to determine whether or not corruption exists in the government, whether or not funds, public funds, are being used for personal purposes. And they also talked to members of the former government as well as members of the opposition to find out just exactly what was going on. And I'm not sure if you're aware, but what they've also recommended is that criminal investigation now be brought against five of the six members of the government, including the premier.
That was going to be my next question, actually. I was going to ask, what are the next steps in our criminal inquiries proceeding, and what's the timeline for all of this?
Yes. So the criminal proceedings now, they have not announced exactly what the timelines are, but what they have recommended this commission of inquiry is that a criminal investigation now be held. And five of the six members, as I mentioned, including the premier, will be brought under further scrutiny, and they will be looking at several areas, money laundering, you know, public funds. As you know, the Turks and Caicos have been booming in the last couple of years in terms of investors. From the standpoint on the ground, though, I think the goal of this citizens group and also the British government will be, how do you repair the image of these islands? How do you continue to bring investments in? How do you continue to have life go on as normal as possible so that in 2 years you can have elections again and we can go back to self-rule?
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about the British government's decision to take over, to suspend the government of the Turks and Caicos Islands. We're speaking with journalist Jacqueline Charles. She covers the Caribbean for the Miami Herald. So how are the, was it belongers? Is that the phrase?
Belongers, yes.
Belongers. I love that. How do you get to be a belonger?
You have to be born in Turks and Caicos, but the rules were changed a couple of years ago.
Oh.
Not just born there, but you have to be of Turks Island citizenship.
Oh,
so
see,
your parents, one of your parents has to be, your mother has, today it's your mother has to be a Turks Islander. When I was born, I'm actually a Turks Islander of Haitian descent. So when I was born, my father's from Turks and Caicos, and I was born in Turks and Caicos.
So I'm shut out again, is what you're telling me. But I'll try to recover from that blow and just say, how are the belongers responding to all of this? What's the mood on the islands?
Well, feelings are mixed. You know, government supporters obviously are not happy with this decision. You know, they would have liked the opportunity to not have Britain come in and figure out how do you get yourself out of this mess. But for those who are in the opposition, you know, and those who don't identify with either party, which are very few, you know, they basically feel that the situation was so bad that this had to be the decision. And, you know, the governor has said this is not a takeover. This is us getting involved in order to strengthen the government, to strengthen the public sector, so that we can get these little islands back on track. Because it's a very small group of islands. There are only like seven islands that are in half.
And is there, the other question I had is, is there a vigorous political opposition there? Is there a sort of vigorous political competition, and are there people waiting in the wings to make the case to the voters that they would do a better job than the previous government has done?
Well, when you talk to people on the ground, they will tell you that one of the problems in this too is not just the ruling government, but the opposition, that over the years, the opposition has become weak. And what we also tend to forget is that this is the same opposition, not the same individuals, but this is the same opposition that several years ago also found itself in hot water. And so what has happened now is that because it's a weakened opposition, in making the decision, some people say that the British government, you know, it wasn't as easy as going over to the opposition and saying, okay, hey, let's put you guys in charge, or let's go back to elections. You know, the opposition, of course, over the years have been criticizing the current government, but they were never really able to bring forth any evidence. You know, now what they did manage to do was to get this investigation rolling. But that has been a problem as a weakened opposition. And so basically the opposition that you're getting, or people not happy with this decision, are sort of individual people here and there. Premier Galmo Williams, who took over from Michael Mizik, clearly said in press reports that this was a takeover. Michael Mizik himself had brought legal challenge, which the British dismissed. So, you know, the answer to your question is probably no. There has not been a real sense of a vigorous opposition in terms of trying to overturn this decision.
And very, very briefly, Jacqueline, any objection being raised by other Caribbean governments in the region?
Yes. CARICOM, the Caribbean community, which Turks and Caicos is an associate member of, they, earlier on this year, when the British first announced that this was imminent, they had expressed concerns, and they actually put out a release about this where they were asking the British to please come up with some other alternative because, you know, for some of these leaders, this is a very draconian measure, especially for independent Caribbean islands,
sure.
you know, that fought for their independence and have been independent from Britain for several decades now. And just yesterday, the opposition in the Bahamas also issued a statement opposing this current move and saying to the British, please, let's see if we can, you know, get past this and rectify the situation at least within a year.
We have to leave it there. Jacqueline Charles covers the English-speaking Caribbean for the Miami Herald. She was kind enough to join us from the studios of member station WLRN in Miami. Jacqueline, thank you.
Thank you for having me.